And good morning, everybody. Yeah, it's good to be together, to worship Jesus together, to celebrate and to just share community life together through even things like announcements and just thinking about our weeks and days together. So today is Palm Sunday. Thanks so much, worship team. Like, I loved the scriptures that were coming on the screen that were helping us to reflect on that day, the Palm Sunday, when Christ rode into Jerusalem. Thanks for that. That was really helpful and meaningful. This week is also referred to as Holy Week by some because it's special. It's set apart from other weeks. It's where we see the character and the love of God really come to a culmination in the sacrifice of Christ and in his resurrection. And so during this week, we're invited to pay close attention to Jesus' actions, to his priorities and his words as he made his way to the cross. So we're going to do a few things together this morning. I'm going to give a reflection from the Gospel of Mark that hopefully we can just take with us to meditate on and think about throughout this week. We're going to do a service project together as an act of generosity to our community, and I'll explain that in a little bit. And then we're going to spend a bit of time together praying for our community, for everybody who's going to come through the Easter Story Walk and experience and walk through the message of the gospel through that time on Good Friday. So we have a lot to look forward to this morning. So last week in my announcements, I said that Easter Sunday is the best Sunday of the whole year. And I believe that. It deserves our biggest celebrations, our most heartfelt expressions of joy, and our richest thanksgivings. Because it's the day when Jesus rose from the dead. It's the day that Jesus conquered death and the power of sin and death over our lives. The resurrection, it demonstrates Christ's lordship and his saving power and the path for new life, all these things that we've been singing about already this morning. But before all of this, Jesus had to suffer and to die for the sins of the world to make a way for all of this to happen. So I've spent quite a bit of time this week, maybe too much time, just trying to decide and reflect on what piece should I share about this morning for us to take with us during this week. I thought about, we've been going through the book of Job and thinking a lot about suffering and seeking God in hard times with open hearts and thinking about the suffering of Christ and what he went through and finding a relationship in that. I also thought a lot about the triumphant entry passages that we've been seeing on the screen already and thinking, well, that's the kind of a perfect passage for this week, hey, to talk about. But I've also been reading a lot about what happened in the last week of Jesus' life before the cross. And I think I found something there that I'd just like to share about for the next few minutes with you. And it comes from Mark chapter 14, verse 32. And it'll be up on the screen, or you can read along in your Bible if you like. This is happening just before Jesus is arrested. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's there with his disciples. They've just had supper, and they've gone to this place. So let's take a few moments, and I'll read it to you. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he says to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back again, found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. So there were just two things that caught my attention from the scene. The first is that Jesus invited his friends into what he was doing and into what he was going through. He shares about his sufferings in that moment. You know, my soul is overwhelmed within me. He prays to the Father in their presence. You know, he's just a little ways away. He falls to the ground. And he prays that this hour could pass from him. And then he also instructs them on how to engage with him in this moment, telling them to watch and pray so that they won't fall into temptation. Okay, so this is sort of what's happening in the scene. Jesus is inviting his friends to his side in this difficult time. And I think that this week, Jesus is extending that same invitation to each one of us. It's a lot more common for us to say and to pray, Lord, be with me today. Be with me as I go here or as I do this thing, you know? And those are good prayers to pray. But what I'm seeing here from this scene is that Jesus is sort of turning that around. And it's as if he is saying to us, why don't you come and walk alongside me today? Why don't you leave behind your plans, the things you want to do, and come and be with me. Go where I go. Follow where I'm going. What could that look like for you this week? What would it look like for you to maybe observe Jesus as he rides into Jerusalem? Maybe you got a little bit of a feel for that today as we're worshiping and praising God with our hearts and lifting our hands, singing, you know, kind of felt like I was there. What would it look like for you to listen carefully to his teachings in this last week as he answers questions and tells parables? What would it look like for you to be awake with him to the significance of that moment when the woman pours oil over his head in preparation for his burial? Or to be present with him at the table of the Last Supper? How do you think it would feel if Jesus were to wash your feet in that moment? Or to pray with him in the garden and face your own temptations to turn away or to disown him before others? Are you still following along with him when he's arrested, mocked, hit? What rises up in you when he stands silent before his accusers? Will you sit at the foot of the cross this week with Mary and John and love him to the end. We're all invited to journey to the cross with Jesus this week, to observe what he's done and how he's done it. Thinking, like, what are you noticing as you do this? What do you wonder? What do you want to say to Jesus as we walk towards the cross this week with him? Jesus invites his friends into what he's doing. The second thing I noticed from this scene is that three times Jesus turns around and sees his disciples sleeping. They had fallen asleep. You know, like, here is Jesus at the height of his struggle, this final push of obedience to the Father before being arrested and going to the cross. And his friends, they're with him, but they're not with him. You know, they were there, but they were asleep. Often in Scripture, we find this idea of falling asleep used sort of as like a symbol of being like spiritually asleep to the activity of God in the world. Secular culture is snoozing to the true meaning of Easter and the good news of Jesus, the gospel story that we tell again and again, especially at this time of year. Many people are not aware, or they don't want to know. They're asleep. But you know, the same temptation comes even to Jesus' closest followers, his disciples. They're part of the community, part of what he was doing, you know, and on this count, they're asleep. So 1 Thessalonians 5:6, Paul encourages the church. This is later on, but he says to them, "So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober." And when Jesus is talking about the end of the age earlier on, he warns believers of being spiritually asleep and not ready for when he comes. And then the prophets in the Old Testament, they're always telling Israel, "Wake up, wake up." Right? Calling out for a spiritual awakening of the people to have their eyes opened to what God is doing in the world. So what happens when we're spiritually asleep? Well, it's in these times when our heart starts to cool. Scriptures talk about growing cold, kind of in the book of Revelation, talks about that to the churches. Growing cold to the things of God. Our spiritual senses become kind of dulled, and the relevance of God takes less and less prominence in our lives. So what do we do about it? Jesus says two things. We watch, we look, we inquire into Jesus. We see what we can see. Watch him this week through the scriptures. See what he's doing. And the second thing is that we pray. We ask, we seek, we knock on the door, and it says it will be open to us. So this week, accept Jesus' invitation to come alongside of him, you know, to observe him and think, what do you notice? What do you wonder? So think about what this could look like for you on a personal level and like in a communal level. So personally, you might want to like pick up one of the Gospels and read through those final chapters. And as you do, as things stand out, you know, maybe you want to take some notes. Maybe you want to write a prayer or draw a picture or write a song about it. Maybe you want to go on a walk and think about something that you noticed or stood out. And then communally, how are you going to share this story of Christ with others? Maybe it means coming and joining the community on the Easter story walk, bringing a friend or a neighbor. Maybe it means talking about the story of Jesus with friends and family, asking questions, inviting people into conversation, and sharing about what you've found in following Christ. So pray with me for a moment. Lord, we thank you for this invitation, not so much that you would come and walk with us where we go, Lord, but that we would come and walk with you where you go, where you went during these final days and moments of the cross. Lord, I believe that you want to meet each one of us in a special way this week. And if you are a God who can create the cosmos and set it in motion, then you are a God who is able to speak, who's able to meet with us as we turn our hearts and open our eyes to you this week. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.